Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. I want to start off by thanking all my listeners, especially those of you who subscribe to the podcast and tell others to listen too. My mission is to increase the financial literacy of physicians and help more physicians become comfortable with money and managing their finances so that they can enjoy the life they work so hard to create. With this podcast, my goal is to not only bring you financial education, but also to help you work on your mindset so you can achieve all your financial goals. I realize the recent episodes have been really heavy on content, and it's time for an episode on mindset. I thought I'd talk about the mindset behind financial independence and building wealth. You may have heard of the FIRE movement. FIRE stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And you may be thinking, I like working and enjoy my career, and I don't need to retire early. Or I would get bored and feel unproductive if I retire early. I hear from some doctors that, is it even possible for a doctor to retire these days? You may even have heard of studies that suggest a cognitive decline after retirement, and have no desire to retire early if that suggests any possible cognitive decline for you. I'm a big proponent of doctors, or really anyone, gaining financial independence, but that doesn't mean that you have to retire early once you reach financial independence. While those seeking retirement will need to achieve financial independence to do so, for those seeking financial independence, retirement may not be the motivation. Becoming financially independent does not mean that you have to retire or even work less if you don't want to. What it means is that you don't have to work for a paycheck to cover your basic living expenses. It means that you're choosing to work. Working can now become your hobby, something you do because you love it and enjoy it. It's about the ability to say no. It's about having more options. It's about having more freedom. It means that if there's a bad situation at your current workplace, you could leave. Once you achieve financial independence, you're in a stronger place to negotiate over work conditions. This could be the number of hours you work, which days you work, and even what you do at work. You can create your ideal job. Job no longer means just over broke. It can also mean that you can take an opportunity that may be considered more financially risky, like working for a startup company for a product that you really believe in. Financial independence means never feeling trapped in a job just because you need the paycheck to cover your living expenses. For Jim Collins, the author of A Simple Path to Wealth, which is a book I recommend, it's about having FU money. In his book, he talks about when he was 25 years old and he had saved $5,000 after working for 2 years, earning only $10,000 a year. He liked his job, but he really wanted to travel. So he asked his boss for 4 months of unpaid leave off and got the answer no. So in his book, he writes that he thought about it for a week and then decided to resign. When he went to go resign, his boss went and talked to the owner. And in the end, Jim took a 6-week leave to travel and also learned to negotiate for more vacation every year. I like to talk about financial independence in different stages. The first stage is survival FI. This is where you have enough assets that you could pay your very basic living expenses indefinitely, but that you would have to cut back on your current standard of living significantly. You have enough for food, housing, reliable transportation, but not enough for vacations or eating out at restaurants. It's the first step towards financial independence, but few people will retire when they get to survival FI. However, you may choose to leave a job without having another one lined up, knowing that you've got enough to pay the bills, and it won't matter if it takes a while to find that new job. The next stage is lean FI, where you have enough assets to live frugally, where you can eat at restaurants and take modest vacations, but you would still likely be cutting back on your current lifestyle. However, if you live a frugal lifestyle, maybe lean FI is all you need. When most people get to lean FI, they will still choose to work for some income to continue their current lifestyle, or even to increase their future lifestyle. However, they may choose to cut back at work or go part-time or even take less compensation to work at a place that they prefer. Then there's traditional FI, where you have enough assets to cover all your current expenses and maintain your current lifestyle. At this point, some people do retire while others start to cut back at work. Other people start thinking of a different career or even a passion project. There are even people who decide that this is the time to start their own business and become entrepreneurs. The final stage, which is totally optional, is fat FIRE. This is where you reach a level of wealth such that you can actually increase your lifestyle with retirement. Now that you're not working, maybe you want to travel the world in luxury style. Or maybe you have an expensive hobby that you want to devote more time to. One of my prior hobbies was horseback riding. When I was young, I always imagined having a lot of land with stables on my property and lots of horses. That's no longer my dream. I think at this point, I'd rather just have one horse at the stables where they've got a staff of people to take care of the horse and they have facilities like an arena that I wouldn't have to have on my own property. But if I was really envisioning having what I dreamed of as a kid, that would require quite a bit of money and I would definitely have to be looking for fat FIRE. I have met people who are at every one of these stages, as well as people who have different ideas of what amount of assets would be enough to stop trading their time for money. The best part is that you can choose what's right for you. Personal finance is personal. It's all about you. Everyone has their own journey. Some people pursue financial independence aggressively, and some take the slow and steady approach. When you start to think about the timeline that you want to reach financial independence by, I would encourage you to do it at a pace where you can enjoy the journey and not just put your nose to the grindstone to try to earn as much money as possible, to invest as much as possible in order to get to financial independence early. After all, tomorrow is not guaranteed. And it is possible that you work super hard to reach financial independence just to have some tragedy happen before you ever make it. So my next question for you is, why wouldn't you want financial independence earlier than when you are considering retirement? It is achievable for the majority of physicians, but you do have to be intentional about it. It does take planning and take action to make it happen. If you're not taking action towards financial independence, what is stopping you? Is it your thoughts about being rich or wealthy? I hear from physicians who say that they didn't go into medicine for the money. They want to help people and provide the best care. If you stopped getting paid to practice medicine, would you continue to practice? Would you still go into the clinic or hospital? You may for a while, but I think most doctors wouldn't really work if they weren't getting paid or expect to get paid eventually. I know during the pandemic, there were some physicians who stopped getting paid, but there was probably the thought that eventually they would be made whole or start getting paid again. And there are times where you may practice medicine and not get paid. I did a mission trip in Honduras, and I actually paid to be there. I loved the trip and all the people that I was able to help. But I couldn't do that, or I should say, I wouldn't have done that if I wasn't getting paid as a physician in the United States. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you think it's better to work when you feel well compensated or when you feel undercompensated? I know I feel better working when I feel well compensated. When I feel undercompensated, I tend to get more frustrated, have less patience, and generally be more negative. And who wants a doctor who's negative? I also think that being undercompensated and feeling that you're undercompensated is a possible path to burnout. I want to say something else that I know some of you need to hear. You can be a great doctor and still care about money. Let me repeat that. You can be a great doctor and still care about money. Money is not evil. Money is just a tool that takes the shape of the hand who holds it. If you believe you're a good person, which I believe you're a good person if you went to medicine to help people, then why wouldn't you want the money in your hands so that you can do good things with it? Think about it. Think of all the good things you could do if you had lots of money. If you suddenly won the lottery and had $100 million, what would you do with that money? My guess is that a portion of that would go to help friends and family, and a portion would probably go to help people that you don't know at all. And there's no shame to wanting to have money. You can be a great doctor and still want to be paid well. We deserve to be well compensated for the expertise and value we bring to the healthcare system. We spent years of our lives, and for many of us, taking on large amounts of debt in order to actually train to be able to provide this service. Money is the thank you note for providing value, and we provide value. So having money come back to us for providing that value is only what's balanced and right in this. And if you feel like you're too well compensated for what you do, you can always donate that money to charity. But you don't have to shrink away from wanting to make more money. There is nothing wrong with being wealthy. Being wealthy does not mean that you're greedy or taking more than what's fair. Being wealthy simply means that you used your money to buy assets. What's wrong to me is that 25% of physicians age 70 or older have a net worth of under $1 million in 2019, according to a Medscape survey. A $1 million portfolio in stocks and bonds at a 4% safe withdrawal rate only gives an income of $40,000 a year, and that's before taxes. Depending on where that money is coming from, like if it's coming from a 401k, you actually have to pay taxes when you withdraw that money. $40,000 a year is likely much less than the cost of living for those physicians who have a net worth under $1 million. I mean, would you want to live on $40,000 a year? I'm not asking if you could live on it, but would you want to? You could say, well, there is still Social Security, and you could add that on and have more. The maximum benefit for Social Security is $4,194 a month. But to get that, you have to wait until age 70 before you begin collecting. You will also have had to work for 35 years, earning Social Security's maximum taxable income. So consider if you had worked for 35 years, earning at least around $140,000, inflation adjusted for all that time. If you only have a net worth of $1 million, you've probably been spending a significant amount of your income during those years. A 70-year-old physician who has a net worth under $1 million suggests that they probably spent the majority of their physician income over their working career on things other than buying assets. So what about real estate, you may ask? For fun, I did a back-of-the-envelope calculation. Say someone has $1 million in equity in rental housing, then assume the maximum leverage of around 25% equity, since that's the down payment required for a conventional investment loan. This would yield a maximum of a $4 million real estate portfolio. With the 1% rule, the estimated gross rental income would be about $40,000 a month, of which likely 75% or more goes towards the mortgage, maintenance, and other expenses. So let's be optimistic and just say that it is 75%. So now we've got an income of $10,000 a month, which is certainly enough for a lot of people to live comfortably. However, somehow I doubt that a physician that's 70 or older with less than $1 million of net worth has invested their entire net worth in cash flowing real estate. And if they have been holding the properties and building up equity over time, it would mean that their real estate portfolio is less than the $4 million if they are less leveraged. The $10,000 a month of positive cash flow is an optimistic number. I know I'm making a lot of assumptions here. I could certainly come up with scenarios where $1 million of equity in real estate could provide significant cash flow. However, I highly doubt that 25% of physicians age 70 or older fall into those scenarios. It's more likely that many of them spent their income on their lifestyle instead of buying assets. Unfortunately for them, it means that they will need to keep working as long as they are physically and mentally able to do so, or to live out their life at significantly reduced lifestyle. Their golden years may not look so golden for them, and I really want to prevent as many doctors as possible from being in that position. I hope I made the case for financial independence and why it's worth spending your time and energy learning something about money and investing, as well as working on your money mindset to achieve financial independence sooner than later. I'm not suggesting that you rush your way to FI, but I am encouraging you to make a plan to get there. By listening to this podcast, you're already educating yourself on how to make FI a reality for you. If you still have objections toward working to achieve financial independence, I'd love to hear what they are. You can email me them at wealthymindsetcoaching@gmail.com or reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram at Grow Your Wealthy Mindset. If you're interested in working on your money mindset and growing your wealth, I'm happy to announce that I am taking a limited number of one-to-one clients for life and money coaching. You can schedule a consultation meeting where we can discuss your goals by going to growyourwealthymindset.com. Tune in next week for another episode of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant, or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.